Welcome to the Dental Breakdown Show with Christian White. Mr. White is the CEO of White & Associates Practice Consulting. Better business, better dentistry. This podcast strives to help break down the current and everyday issues within the dental industry. In each podcast, we discuss a topic on dentistry with respected industry professionals, dentists, and other relevant special guests. Our goal is to help provide you valuable insights for your dental practice. We thank you for listening today. From the dental chair to the beach chair, wherever you are listening, sit back, relax, and enjoy the Dental Breakdown Show. Now take it away, Christian.
Let's introduce our guest to the podcast today, Dr. Patrick Cassidy. Welcome. Thank you for being a guest on the Dental Breakdown Show today.
My pleasure. Looking forward to it.
Well, all our listeners are looking forward to it as well, because you've got a lot of great information to share, and I cannot wait. So I'm excited. So let's get to our first question. Dr. Cassidy, why don't you tell all of our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I was born and raised in British Columbia. Got my dental degree from the University of British Columbia and went out to be a traveling dentist for a couple of years in the wilderness of British Columbia. It was a wonderful experience. Probably the most fun that I had in dentistry was right at the beginning of my career.
Nice.
Went on to become very interested in public health and providing services to those that don't have it readily available. So I joined the government of British Columbia and ran the dental extern program, the outreach program, for about 5 years, along with managing fluoridation campaigns and those types of things. And ultimately got so interested in public health that I did a master's degree in public health in North Carolina, stayed with the government for a while, and then moved back into clinical dentistry and have been in that ever since. So I've done a number of things.
Yes, you have.
being a practice owner, moved to North Carolina, where I met my wife, and then started to build a solo practice out into a group practice over many years.
Tell me this question. How out of all the things in the world that you could have been, you know, you decided to be a dentist. How in the world did you end up in this crazy profession?
As I said, I was about 12 years old, and I think I was enamored with my local dentist and the equipment and just the idea that I could do something like that. Was very appealing to me. My parents both worked very hard as employees for various companies. And I thought maybe if I was a dentist that I could be successful and take care of my parents and the rest of the family, build a life.
Nice. All right. Those are all great reasons. Wonderful. Let's move on to our next question. This is something that I've been kind of wanting to ask you. With all the experience that you have had, and if you were to partake some words of wisdom to the younger dentists who are coming out of school or who are just entering the profession, your top three or four do's and don'ts, if you could share those with us, that'd be great.
Well, first, unless you have dental or medical in your circle of life and friends and family, be careful. And upon graduation, it might be the best idea to take on an associateship or an independent contractor position to learn from others that have already achieved a level of success. Having a mentor is almost essential for somebody that's getting out of dental school and just starting out in their first few years. You need time to establish your clinical capabilities. You're going to be slow, maybe not relative to the dental students that you were with, but relative to people that have been out for 5 or 10 years, you're slow. It's going to take some time to get the skills. And rather than going into an independent practice or setting up your own practice right out of dental school, I don't care if you're top of the class as I was, that's no gain and no guarantee of business success. Clinical expertise is not always a path to business success. And we all want to have that success in our business and be able to take care of our families. So be careful, find a mentor, and learn. Do seek leadership training. That's something that is not taught in dental school. Sure. Learn about management, learn about personal development so that you can have a more balanced life. Those types of trainings will pay off greatly in your personal life and in your business life. You're going to be working with a lot of people. Your team is going to be critically important. As I've always said to my teams over the years, we're just in an empty, lifeless building until you guys walk in the morning, comes to life, and we start to do wonderful things to take care of our patients. And ultimately, the rapport that we establish with our team, the rapport that we establish on a personal basis with our patients is critical to the success of the business and scaling the business out. So that you need to learn. If you don't already have those skills, you need to develop those skills. And for an example, one of the things that I was very strong about was not going into an operatory unprepared. Mm-hmm. And it stuck my foot in my mouth too many times, not knowing that the patient had a crisis in their life. You walk in there and say, how's things going? And you're wondering why the patient's not being responsive. So I always insisted on meeting a dental assistant or hygienist in the sterilization area or in the lab and say, tell me about this patient. And if they would start by saying, that person has a pain on the lower left, I'd say, whoa, just a minute. Tell me about the person.
Right.
The person mm-hmm. that counts.
Yes, and it does.
It took a while to train the staff that I was very interested in personal rapport. And that, as an example, caused them to want to have the same rapport with the patient. And that's what causes people to refer to your practice. So that's one of the most important things. And I'm going to check a bit of a list here. Don't want to miss the really great stuff. And the other thing is to be grateful for the contribution of your staff. Mm-hmm. Really, really appreciate their thinking, appreciate their ideas. Yes, you're the dentist, but they're human beings. They have ideas. And if you happen to be a perfectionist, like so many dentists are, that's somewhat of a liability because by definition, they're never up to your standards.
No, they're not.
And you don't want them to feel like they're secondary and that they're somewhat below you. You want to mm-hmm. raise them up. And that when there's success in the business, one of the principles that we have had over the years, my wife and I, as we built out some pretty significant entities, is crown the company, crown your staff, don't crown mm-hmm. yourself. It's not about you being so great as a dentist as it is as much having a great team that drives the whole business. Yes, you're the leader. Yes, you're the top manager, but it's the team that really makes it for you at any level of the practice, from solo into a large group practice with multiple doctors and multiple team members. And learn about leadership and hire leaders, because if you want to grow a practice to a very high level, you're going to need at least one or two really good leaders. And in my case, I had one fantastic leader as the group practice manager who had great judgment, could run the practice basically almost without my help on a day-to-day basis. And as it grew, that became more and more apparent. So if you have that one person who can handle a lot and handle the doctors, then you're really in a wonderful place.
The Dental Breakdown Show, sponsored by White & Associates Practice Consulting. Better business, better dentistry. They are a practice management and consulting firm for dentists and other healthcare-related businesses. Their sole purpose is to implement proven strategies through online and practice visits that result in the personal and professional success of the dentist and his or her team.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat Cassidy, CEO of Net32. Net32 was inspired by tremendous product pricing differences for the exact same dental products. Net32 leverages this discrepancy by partnering with dental manufacturers and distributors, providing over 90,000 product choices in the Net32 marketplace, where competition drives down pricing drastically, collectively saving dental customers over 40% on their supplies. Approximately 200 new practices start buying at net32.com every week, joining over 45,000 dental professionals who have come before them. Join them and save at www.net32.com. Learn about clinical dentistry. Learn about leadership. And I mentioned that a bit. It doesn't matter if you're new to dentistry or you're in it for 20 years. You should be learning more about leadership, becoming a better leader. A servant leader is one of the bywords now, where you're just there to help them to do their best, to do what they are best at, and to support that. And we can be fairly critical as dentists of our team members, especially if we're leaning towards the perfectionist. And you'll see a lot of perfectionists in solo practices, and you'll also see turnover in those practices.
Yes, you do.
So unless you're a savant, a clinical savant, and you can do the things that all these fantastic leaders out there saying, just follow me and you'll be incredibly successful in particular areas, be careful about that. Mm-hmm. Dentistry is hard. Dentistry is difficult. And solo is the most difficult, in my strong opinion. Group is much more comfortable. You have the camaraderie and the professional support of your colleagues. And if you're growing a group practice, you want to pick dentists that have specific areas. We had a dentist that was into endo. We have another dentist that's into crown and bridge, et cetera, et cetera. Make those complementary. So personal development as well. Personal development, say, you know, for my family, it was like Tony Robbins, mm-hmm. and those types of experiences where it helps to keep you grounded and not struggling and in your personal lives and having a better balance. So those types of things are important. I didn't realize that until later in my career, but that's made one of the biggest changes for me in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. Those are, we could stop the podcast right now and go home. I mean, that was just wonderful. Those were great. A lot of what you said, the younger dentists, they don't get any of that in school, like you mentioned, and they come out and, you know, the leadership piece is tough. You know, their hand speed is slower, like you made a good point to chat about. And these are all really great things to consider for younger dentists. Thank you very much for sharing that. Let's move on to the next piece. You had said that, you know, you'd moved to North Carolina. You ended up buying a practice in North Carolina, and you had a single practice, and you grew that into a group practice. Maybe talk a little bit about how you did that.
Well, in relatively early years, I was pondering the idea of building out something beyond solo practice, and happened across Table Mountain seminars at that time, Rick Kushner's lean and mean approach, and attended some of his seminars. And that was the basis, a framework that I used to build out the group practice. And I did it in my own way. He brought in dentists and provided equity to them. I did not do that. And I preferred to bring in independent contractors and maintain the equity of the business as a whole. And I think that turned out for me to be a good decision, because not every dentist that you bring in is going to turn out. You know, it may seem, it's like any relationship, seems good on the surface, but when you get into it, it's just maybe not happening. So that right. gave me more latitude to actually change dentists out until I had what I wanted, which was very experienced dentists with specific interests. And ultimately, one dentist was with me over 15 years, 11 years, those types of things, and very, very talented dentists. So I chose to bring in experienced dentists mm-hmm. rather than associates and bring them up. I wanted dentists that would hit the ground running. Mm-hmm. That may have been a little selfish on my part, but it created a situation where the mature dentists were able to deal with the staff and work with the staff at a higher level than would be an associate that's only had a couple of years of experience. And then in regard to some of the framework, the following lean and mean is, and some of these things are not going to be possible, like having a freestanding building on a busy intersection with a light. You're not going to do that in Manhattan. So being in at that time in Durham, North Carolina, I was able to do that, which was one of the guidelines for Kushner's approach, freestanding building on a busy street with a street light mm-hmm. and put up a sign as big as the codes will allow. And away you go. Track the source of every new patient. Call every lost patient. If the patient calls in and, mm-hmm. and says, I want to have my records moved to a practice that's like 2 miles from you, then what do you do? Most dentists just turn their head and maybe make the patient wrong. That was not a good patient anyway. What we did is pick up the phone and call the patient and say, what on earth did we do to cause you to want to leave our practice? Yeah. And because I had great leaders, one in particular, her success rate in bringing people back was about 50%.
Wow.
You can get these people to come back. And if they didn't come back immediately, then down the road, if they have a bad experience, you'll see them coming through the door. They need mm-hmm. to know that they're going to be welcome,
correct.
Even if they've left. Mm-hmm. So I know that's a bit of a detail, but it did help to build our practice. And make maximum use of the physical plant. So we had 4,500 square feet, 10 ops, 6 doctors, 4 hygiene, and we were open 12 hours a day, 7 days a week at times. We cut back on Sundays over the years, but basically maximizing that physical plant. And of course, being open 12 hours a day makes it easy for patients to find times that are suitable. Mm-hmm. And when we started doing that, there really wasn't a lot of it. Most were working 9 to 5, maybe not working Fridays, and certainly mm-hmm. not working Saturdays. So when I started to really get some momentum with the group practice, we used those long hours as a competitive advantage. Mm-hmm. And we were able to see, 100, 120, 140 new patients a month, where a solo practitioner in that area is maybe 20 or 30 patients. Mm-hmm. So use that physical plan. And there's a couple of things that you may not agree with that worked for us, and a free new patient exam and x-rays, not $20, $40, $60 is what you see out there. Just make it free. And you may not be able to do that on an ongoing basis, but when you think of the lifetime value of a patient, it totally made sense. Mm-hmm. And another thing is when a patient calls and they have an emergency of sorts, or they have a particular problem, a tooth missing or broken, then we would offer them, and they're tentative about coming to the practice, we would offer them a quick look-see at no charge mm-hmm. at all. That also was very profitable over time, because once they got into the practice and saw the quality of how we cared for people, they became new patients. And I think that you need to pay your people well, pay your leaders well, pay your doctors well. And my philosophy was that I don't want my doctors to even think about going anywhere else. Mm-hmm. They're going to be in the top 5% of earners in dentistry, at least, and some probably higher than that. So don't be afraid to pay these great doctors very well, and I recommend a sliding scale. Mm-hmm. You can reach out to me more for more details on this. I'll be happy to talk to anybody out there. So pay for their CE. It wasn't something that was in my independent contractor with my doctors, but it just always worked to pay for their continuing education. And they'll stay with you. You don't want to be having a turnover in your doctors.
No.
Because it's so upsetting to the staff.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling and the security of your team get stronger and stronger as your doctors stay longer and longer. And it's the same thing with the staff and people that were with us for 15, 18 years. And you know, I'm really proud of that, that would feel comfortable enough to stay with me. We had weekly staff meetings. And I know that sounds crazy to a lot of people, but we found that reviewing our productivity, our new patients, reading some testimonials every week, that it was really energizing to the team. And they have a lot of good ideas. I would also spend time offsite with the office manager in a quiet environment. And every week I would meet with her offsite and discuss marketing in particular and systems as well. You can't build a great group practice without great systems. And that we work heavily on that,
mm-hmm.
and always trying to provide a better and better patient experience and better referral systems as we went down the road. Something that you won't hear much about is that you hear that there are bonus systems.
Mm-hmm.
My bonus system was very simple. It was completely arbitrary. And at the end of a month, I would look at the profitability of the business. I would talk to the office manager and about the various people and their performance. And then I would pick a number only known to me of how much there was going to be in the bonus pool, mm-hmm. and then distribute it according to the contribution of the people in the business, the staff. And that worked for over 15 years. Never had a problem with that bonus system. So it was not on a mathematical algorithm of you get this percent or that percent. It was completely arbitrary. And it allowed me some flexibility to, depending on the cash flow, to set it at a level that made sense for the business and that also rewarded the team members. Moving forward on building a group practice, what I did was to reduce my clinical hours over the years. I'd knock off a day, knock off hours. And my wife, being an accountant, she got a little worried every time I said, like, I'm just not going to work Saturdays anymore.
Yes.
And over the years, and it did take years, every time I backed out a little bit more, the practice became more profitable, mm-hmm. and more profitable until towards the end of my clinical stint, which was about 6 years ago, I was working Thursday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there basically to participate in the weekly staff meetings. I think it's about 6 years ago, I went in some Thursday morning. At the end of that day, I said, well, I think I'm done with clinical. And so my staff knew before my wife did. And by that time, she knew that every time I backed out and became more of a leader than a mm-hmm. clinical provider, that I was more powerful in building the profitability of the mm-hmm. company. So another couple of tips here: hire slow, fire fast. We often do often in a panic, we'll do the opposite.
The opposite.
We'll hire fast and fire slow. And you can save yourself a lot of emotional issues. If you get some courage, when something doesn't feel good with a staff yes. member, it's usually not good. It's real.
Yeah.
Listen to your gut. And if this person just doesn't make you feel good, then you've probably got the wrong person. So mm-hmm. don't have that person suffer. That person is probably suffering and not feeling good as well. So give them an opportunity to thrive and do well in another environment. That's hard to do. It was mm-hmm. really hard for me to fire people in the early years, but I got better at it, let's say. And it usually both parties gain from ending that relationship. Mm-hmm. And the bonus tip here today is to marry an accountant. I can't tell you how nice it is to have somebody who can watch the books, watch the financial flow, and in my case, handle the finance, the overall finance in the business. Mm-hmm. I guess another tip that's just occurring to me is that my wife was saying, if you can't pay it off in 3 years, we're not buying it. No matter if it's a $100,000 item, we're going to pay it off in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And we stuck to that tenet through all the years of building out the practice. And that made the practice very, very profitable. And I mean, think about computer hardware.
Yeah.
You're going to be having to change it out in 4 or 5 years, and you get a 10-year loan or 8-year loan. Now you get loans upon loans. And I hate debt. My wife hates debt. So we tried to keep the business very profitable with very little debt. Mm-hmm. So be careful about that, because that can take you out as a business if you let debt get out of hand.
Sure can.
The Dental Breakdown Show, sponsored by White & Associates Practice Consulting. Better business, better dentistry. They are a practice management and consulting firm for dentists and other healthcare-related businesses. Their sole purpose is to implement proven strategies through online and practice visits that result in the personal and professional success of the dentist and his or her team.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat Cassidy, CEO of Net32. Net32 was inspired by tremendous product pricing differences for the exact same dental products. Net32 leverages this discrepancy by partnering with dental manufacturers and distributors, providing over 90,000 product choices in the Net32 marketplace, where competition drives down pricing drastically, collectively saving dental customers over 40% on their supplies. Approximately 200 new practices start buying at net32.com every week, joining over 45,000 dental professionals who have come before them. Join them and save at www.net32.com.
Dr. Cassidy, that was all great information that you shared. Thank you for sharing all that. Our listeners are going to really benefit from that. Let's move on to another completely different piece. So you, with your practice, got to a point where you made the decision to move on and sell your practice to corporate dentistry. How did you go about doing that? And what was the tipping point for you to make that decision?
Well, there were a number of factors in the fall of 2020 that were at play. A couple of them that were really important to me was I felt like that I had maximized the business to a level where it would be challenging for me to build it out and make it even more profitable. And every year we had increased profitability. I felt like it was maybe going to start to flatten out. And of course, you don't want to sell your practice on the downswing, which is what a lot of dentists do. They wait until maybe, unfortunately, they physically can't do what they could do before, and the productivity starts to drop, and the interest may drop, and I guess financial needs, they keep driving on. But selling any business on the downswing is never going to get you top dollar. So that was one thing. I felt like that I had maximized it about as much as I could. I also felt like I had achieved what I wanted to achieve, was to build a top 1% group practice in the country. And there's not a lot more that I could have achieved there. And then, of course, the other company, the larger company, and Net32 was growing extremely rapidly. Mm-hmm. And we're hiring people and just trying to keep up with the growth. So being CEO of that company and the owner of the group practice was getting to be a bit much. Mm-hmm. So making that change and selling the business seemed to make sense. And another factor was simply that I was concerned about capital gains and the likelihood that if there was a change in government in 2021, that capital gains would without a doubt go up. So that was attractive. And I think that that's turning out just fine, actually, because capital gains is going up.
It is going up.
And, capital gains tax was 21%.
Yes.
And now that's looking pretty good. So yeah. Nobody knows what's going to happen, but I think there were enough factors at play, mm-hmm. that it just made sense. And I almost screwed that up because I made that decision very late in the process. It was like September, October. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I want to sell the business. I don't have that much time. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we already had a relationship with an M&A firm, okay. Mergers and Acquisitions. So we were able to get up and running very quickly. But that's another story. But those are the main reasons, that the pressures of leadership for a fast-growing company in Net32, mm-hmm. popping off what I thought was my capability to grow the practice even or any further. Those types of things caused me to decide to sell the practice. And that's another story.
Yes, it is. One quick question for you. How did you know that you had maximized the full profitability potential of the practice? Did you just kind of wake up one morning and just feel that? I'm being funny. Okay. were you looking at some numbers? Maybe talk real quick about that.
The numbers were still really favorable. And over the years, the profitability of that business was magnificent and, mm-hmm. and growing, but it was growing at a lower rate. And I felt that if for my family and for our lives going forward and my children, that selling the business at that point in time, just it made sense, mm-hmm. for the big picture of my life and my family life. And I think it was topped off at a beautiful point in time. And it was a great process. And we did close the deal before the end of the year.
Okay. Dr. Cassidy, thank you so much for being a guest on the Dental Breakdown Show today. The information that you've shared has been phenomenal. Thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure, truly.
If our listeners want to learn more about you, or if they have questions about some of the things you do with your practice, where can they go to get more information?
Well, they can contact me directly at pcassidy@net32.com.
Thank you for listening to the Dental Breakdown Show with Christian White. If you would like more information about today's topic, have a topic suggestion, or would like to be a guest, please check out the description below. Or for more videos, podcasts, and information, please visit whitedentalconsulting.com/podcast. If you liked the podcast today, please press that like button, subscribe to our channel, and hit that notification icon to become a part of the growing Dental Breakdown Show community.